I'm going to read from 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I want to read that out of the Amplified. He says, study and be eager and do your utmost to present yourself to God, approved, tested by trial, a workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. Oh, God. We're calling this particular series of teachings Kicking Over Sacred Cows. Kicking Over Sacred Cows. Now, put something right there, please, because I'm coming back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. But I want you to go with me over to Exodus chapter 32, please. Exodus chapter 32. Verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and your sons and of your daughters, and bring them to me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graven tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Now, they made a golden calf. And it's kind of interesting that they made this calf from something. It was fashioned. And what I tell people all the time is that I ask people, where did the calf come from? All right, the calf came from Egypt. But how did they get the calf in the wilderness? Okay. He was brought there in their hearts and in their minds, their imagination. Because in Egypt, they had been exposed to this, the world. And now what they did was got him out of Egypt, out of the world. But now he's got to get the what? The world out of them. And that's usually where the biggest challenge is. People get saved. But then what we need to do is we need to get them sanctified. We need to get them so that they can live a saved life. And so what happens here is these people came out and this was a calf. And so now what we're calling this series is Kicking Over Sacred Cows, because Moses basically destroyed this molten calf. But even though you can destroy it on the outside, that calf is still on the inside. So we need to go after the inside during this teaching, because there's a reason why some people haven't gotten to their wealthy place. There's a reason why they haven't gotten to their promised land. There's a reason why the word is not working for them. And I have a feeling that there are some preconceived ideas that are still lodged in the heart that are really blocking their way to their blessing. So we want to go after some of those things, and I want you to hold on to your seat, because sometimes it might make you mad because that calf is coming out. That's called deliverance. But if you just stay with me, we're going to get you set free. Amen? Let's go to Numbers chapter 21, please. Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. If you're there, say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Now look at verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loathe this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents. Now, let me translate that for you. The Lord allowed fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel did what? They died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall what? Live." That word in the Hebrew is kaya. He shall be restored or revived. And verse, hit your wallet and say kaya. Hit your pocketbook and say kaya. All right, praise the Lord. Okay, verse 9. And Moses made a serpent of brass. Now, brass is a sign or symbol of divine judgment. And put it on a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he what? Lived, or in this case, recovered. Are you with me? Now this is interesting how God had Moses to do this, because this was what Moses wanted to do, or Moses had in his heart. He wanted to always deliver the people. And so God used him as a deliverer continuously for these people. And now here these people were complaining against Moses and murmuring and so forth. How many of you know God does not like murmuring or complaining? All right, now this is a lesson for you, so stop doing it. Okay, now verse 8, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole." So we have that today, kind of a serpent on a pole. In what profession do you see that? In the medical profession, we see it, and what it symbolizes is healing, or for it to be restored physically. Now here is Jehovah, their great physician, showing himself mighty here in the middle of this wilderness, where they had no other physicians, nobody else, no medicine, no Walgreens. They just went to the Lord, and the Lord made them to get healed. Now, I want you to go over to 2 Kings chapter 18, please. 2 Kings chapter 18. Now, in 2 Kings chapter 18, this starts telling us about a man named Hezekiah. Hezekiah. And Hezekiah really came into power and to be a king when Israel and Judah were really kind of getting in a backslidden state. They began to worship things of the world and so forth like that. Let's read starting at verse 1. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hosea. Now that word Hosea has to do, or Hoshea, has to do, it's a Hebrew origin of Hosea, which is the original name for Hosea is Joshua, okay? But we'll read it like that. In the third year of Hoshea, son of Eliah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. So they had two places. They had one Israel, and another one was Judah. Judah was a single place. Israel were the other tribes, and Judah was a single tribe here that was central in this area we call now Jerusalem. Now, verse 2, 20 and 5 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 20 and 9 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David, his father, did. He removed the high places and brake the images or statues and cut down the groves and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it. And he called it Nehushtan, which means something of very little value. It is interesting. It's interesting how at one time they had this statue, this pole that had this brass serpent on it. And this pole, when they looked upon it, they got healed. But that time was over. But now they're still carrying the pole around. And now they're burning incense to the pole. And it's kind of interesting how you have to watch this in terms of scripture. And how some people are worshiping the scripture and not the God of the scripture. Now, I want you to get what I'm saying now. Because God wants us to reverence his word. But see, they have separated his word from him. See, this is God's word. This is God's word. When he speaks, when it speaks, he speaks. But people become religious and really not worshiping God at all, but this form of godliness and denying the power thereof. So I'm letting you know now, they can quote scripture. You know, they can quote all these scriptures on love and they mean as a rattlesnake. Come on, they can quote all these scriptures on prosperity and can't hardly pay their bills. Now, I'm just saying this is what happened in the times of the Pharisees. Oh, they were religious folks. But this is something that we want to get past. We want to identify what things we have done religiously that have no value to them. And what happened is religion always puts you in a place of non-resistance. The Bible tells us to resist the devil and he will flee from us. Well, one of the devil's strategies is to fill you with religion. How many of you ever have had in your life a vaccination? Just whether you are young or old or whatever. Well, what does a vaccination do? What does it do? All right. What do they give you in that serum or whatever have you? Okay. They give you a little bit of that virus. Am I right about it? And what is it designed to do inside of you? Right. It's designed to build up antibodies inside of you. So when the real thing comes, what happens? Fight it off. You got what I'm saying? So the enemy injects with religion. So when truth comes, you fight it off. Are you following what I'm saying now? And that's a favorite trick of his. See? But half truth won't make you free. Only the truth, come on, will make you free. Now that's what I'm talking about, worshiping of the scripture. I'm not saying the scriptures are not holy, and I'm not saying that the scriptures are not to be believed and taken in by God and lived by. I'm just saying that people will take this book and separate it from the master. And that is not where it's meant to be. Praise God, because this book is alive. The Word of God, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, come on, and the Word was God. So here they are, they're carrying it around. Now, I have nothing against that, but make it mean something. Just because you have a cross on the mirror of your car don't mean it won't get hit. Come on, you better help me now. Now, I'm talking about I'm coming after all religion. You feel yourself getting a little uncomfortable? That's because that religious lying spirit is coming out of you. And he's going to come out of you during this session. You're going to breathe easy after this session right here. It's going to clean your sinuses out. Okay? Because it's been a lot of form of godliness, but ain't been no power. And we got to get the power back in the church. And it's coming back in Jesus' name. All right. Now, let's keep going. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5. Let's go over there. I told you I was coming back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 1 John chapter 5. Put something right there at 1 John chapter 5. Okay? And flip over with me, if you will, back to 2 Kings and chapter 17. 2 Kings chapter 17. I'm just going to go there just for a second, just for a minute. Let me know when you get there. Now, if you read 2 Kings chapter 17, it'll show you the backslidden state of Israel. It'll show you how bad it got in Israel. Look what it says here in verse 7. Have you got it? For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord and their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods and walked in the statute of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel and of the kings of Israel, which they had made. Verse 10. And they set them up images and groves in every high hill and under every green tree. And there they burned incense in all the high places and did the as did the heathen whom the Lord carried away before them and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. For they served idols, whereof the Lord had said unto them, you shall not do this thing. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn ye from the evil, your evil ways, and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants, the prophets. Now, I just want you to see something here. Notice the prophet's job. The prophet's job was to warn them and to correct their ways. I want you to keep something in 1 John 17 because that's where we are right now. And I want you to go to 2 Timothy again and chapter 3. That one I told you to hold to. 2 Timothy and chapter 3. All right. Are you there? Look what it says in verse 16. All scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God. And is profitable for what? Doctrine. Doctrine is instruction. For reproof. Reproof is conviction. For correction. Correction is correcting error. For instruction in righteousness or training in the righteous ways that you should go. Now, all scripture is given for that. For doctrine, instruction, for conviction, for correcting error. Now, come back over here to 2 Kings chapter 17 again. So he had the prophets to come in to correct the error that was among God's people. But God's people didn't want to hear it. Now, what do you think Jezebel did with the prophets? How many of y'all know Jezebel did something with the prophets? What did she do with the prophets, some of the prophets? She killed them. Why do you think she killed them? See, because if they had gotten back under the alignment of God's will, then they would have had the power back again that they could overtake their enemies. Glory to God. Y'all with me? Look at verse 16. Verse 16. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God and made them molten images, even two calves. Now here's two calves they made, not one. And made a grove and worshiped all the host of heaven and served who? Baal. And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire. Anybody familiar with that? Okay, that's that Moloch spirit. Make them pass through the fire. What do they call that today? All right, sacrifice or abortion. It's the same spirit. And look what it said. It's a killing of the young. And look what it says. And use divination and enchantments. Now, what do we call that today? Witchcraft, fortune telling. Call this number. Let me tell your fortune. So forth and so on. Come on now. See? And enchantments, so forth and so on. Now, verse 18, and the Lord was very angry. Now, only thing I'm saying here is as a result of this, Israel got carried away into Assyria. Now, what happened? It weakened them. And so the enemy knows that if you violate the commands of God as a spiritual people like the United States, that it would weaken the country. And the next thing you know, the enemy will carry us away. My point to you is that there was a reason for the prophets coming to bring the word. But it's a reason for me bringing the word to you tonight, because it's profitable for reproof, doctrine, for instruction in righteousness, and for correction. So when I start to correct you, don't get mad at me, because I'm here to make you stronger. I'm here to reveal some things perhaps that might be in your life that have been causing you not to resist the devil. All right, let's look at 1 John again, and 1 John and chapter 5, please. 1 John chapter 5. Amen. 1 John chapter 5. Now, I don't care what you think. I'm going to go ahead and tell you. But I just don't want no hate. Say no hate. Amen. Look at verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, what? Even our faith. So if I'm going to overcome the world, I'm going to have some what? Faith. How does faith come? And hearing by what? Now, can I have faith in a lie? Yes, I can. Faith is confidence. It won't help me, but I can have faith in it. And that's what people have had. They have had more faith in a lie than they had of the truth. Now, this is happening all over the church. Really, I'm preaching this because there's time for correction. It's time for correction. We've been kind of off course, and we better get back on course here now. All right, let's just do a little bit more here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. All right, look at 1 John. No. John chapter 10, please. John chapter 10. John 10. John, J-O-H-N, 10. Let me know when you get there. John 10. Look what it said. Verse 10. The thief cometh not, but for to do what? Steal, and to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, let's kill that first calf. The thief cometh for only but for to steal, kill, destroy. Now, there's nothing in there that says he comes to make you stronger. That's not in there. He come to kill you. You get stronger through it, that's your business. But he's coming to kill you. See, I don't think folk realize that the devil don't like you. You are not somebody special in his camp. He hates you. He hates you with so much hatred until you just can't even imagine how much he hates you. He doesn't love you a little bit. He comes to destroy your plans. He comes to destroy your family. He comes to destroy your future. He comes to destroy your things that you've been working on. He comes to destroy your attitude. He comes to destroy, destroy, destroy. And the only thing we got to defend ourselves with is found in James 4:7. It says, submit yourself unto God and resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Submit yourself to God. What does that mean? Submit to God's what? Word. But suppose you don't know his word. See, you're thinking that, you know, the Lord used that to teach me something. No, it was the devil trying to kill you. It was the Lord's mercy that kept him from killing you. Now, see, I call this a dividing line of the Bible because we got to come on one side or the other. Either God is the one who makes you sick or God is the one who heals you. He is not both. So you're going to have to make up your mind that God didn't do that. Say amen to this. Now I'm going somewhere with this. That's why I'm going to finish on time. What time is it? Amen. Amen. But what we've got to kick over those cows. See, those images are still in us. We said, praise the Lord, but then sickness still overtaking us. And so something is wrong there. Something's wrong here. So the only thing I'm trying to do is I'm trying to expose this your belief and what you really believe. So, all right, let's keep going here. Y'all with me? Let's go to, glory to God, hallelujah. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4, please. Matthew chapter 4. And when you find that, go to Hosea chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, Hosea chapter 4. Thank you. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be of service. Now I want you to keep thanking me now, even though we start hitting some of that tough stuff. Just keep thanking me. Praise the Lord, Pastor. Oh, we thank you, Pastor. Oop. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Pastor, we want to thank you. Amen. All right, look at Matthew chapter 4, but don't say anything yet. I mean, I'll just put something right there and look at Hosea chapter 4. Let me know when you get there. Verse 6. My people's. That's the way some people do. They put that S on there, boy. You know they came from the South when they put that S on their mouth. My people are destroyed for what? For lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of God, of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Now he's saying the part that I want you to focus in on is my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It is that lack of money. This is knowledge, folks. So the enemy knows that knowledge is key for you. You need somebody that's going to teach you accurately the scriptures. Look at Matthew chapter 4, please. All right, let's look at verses 5 and 6 and 7. Then the devil taketh him up to a holy city. Now, this is when Jesus was being tempted of the devil. And setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. Now, this is interesting. Because here's the devil quoting scripture. How many of y'all know the devil knows scripture? But what did he do with it? He took it out of context. And there are people that will quote scripture to you and take it out of context. And that scripture will, which is designed to free you, will become a bondage to you. Got it? So we're going to get some of that too. Now, where did he get this scripture from? He got it from Psalm chapter 91. See? And okay, put something right there. You can let Hosea go. Put something right there. Let's go to Psalm 91. Let's come right back to Matthew chapter 4, Psalm 91. All scripture is profitable for correction. Look what it said in Psalm 91. Have you got it? Come on now. You should be there by now. You've got it, right? And look at verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I'll say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I what? Trust. Now, those scriptures are the foundation for the rest of the scriptures working. Because you got to trust God and you got to abide in him. Say amen to that. Amen. And look what he said here in verse 8. Only with thy eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy what? Habitation. Now that's the condition by which the next scripture is going to work. There shall no evil, come on, befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling, for he shall what? Give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you even dash your foot against a stone. I want to read that out of the Living Bible. Here's what it says. It says this, they will, glory to God, for he orders his angels to protect you wherever you go, and they will steady you with their hand to keep you from stumbling against the rocks on the trail. That's what the Living Bible says. So the angels are with me right now. But I got to trust in who? I got to trust in God. See, if I really trust in God, I don't have no fear. Okay, come back over to Matthew chapter 4, please. Matthew chapter 4. Yeah, okay, Matthew chapter 4. Have you got it? All right, look how Jesus does. He quotes another scripture, verse 7. And Jesus said to him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now, what is he saying? Don't put the Lord to the test. You don't have to test him. The only place he said, prove me, is where? When you're dealing with what? When you're dealing with the tithe. All right. Now let's get down to a scripture that's used so frequently, and people use this scripture. And this scripture is taken out of context. Now I want you to know something, first of all. Oh, Jesus. Okay, all right. This is right, folks. Let's go to Job chapter 1. Job. J-O-B. All right. Now, Job is often quoted. Got it? Now, it said over in Timothy, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now we're going to see how that works. In Job, God talks about Job and he tells that Job was a man that feared evil, or he feared God and eschewed evil, meaning he stayed away from evil and so forth and so on. Then he gave his financial statement. And then he went on up and talked about Job was praying for his children every day and so forth. And then Satan came before the Lord. And Satan came, Job. You look at Job, the Lord asked him, have your eyes been on Job? So forth and so on. Well, what did it do? Satan then began to afflict Job. He came in on Job. Now, once he came in on Job, now we're going to go through some of that so we can, it's amazing how much other truth you can see when you get one truth. Began to afflict Job, verse 13, and there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their elder brother's house, and there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came another. And he said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven, and has burned up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels, and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servant with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While they were yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in the elder brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I'm escaped alone to tell thee. And Job rose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground in worship and said, naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has what? Taken away. Keep going. Blessed is the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Now notice what he said. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Question, is that in the Bible? Okay, it's right here. It's right here. Who said it? Job. Who inspired it to be written? God. Now, these things are written for correction. The Spirit of God quoted Job. And it is truly stated, but it is not a statement of truth. So there are some lies written in the Bible, and they're written for your correction. Because what you've heard at funerals when this little child is in this casket is that the Lord plucked her up like a little flower. Now, he gave her life. Why would he take it? And in this Bible, if you want to see God taking somebody, you go over in Genesis where Enoch walked with God and the Bible says the Lord took him. And then you go over to Elijah and you see that Elisha was following him around, and Elijah said, if you can see me when the Lord takes me, then you'll get that double portion. And the Lord took Elijah. And then over in the New Testament, here is Jesus standing up on the mount, and then the Lord took him after the resurrection on up in a cloud. Everybody that the Lord took, he took alive. The thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And religion puts a person in a place of non-resistance. It is not meant for the devil as a roaring lion or as something coming in your room as a grim reaper snuffing your life out and you not be aware of what's going on. Nope. And I'm going to prove to you that is not so. You got something to say about when you leave here. And let me tell you, folks, we don't need to teach much. I know we've been teaching all this about prosperity and revelation on this. We just need to come back to teaching this simple correction of the stuff folk already know, because I think if we can get corrected on what we know, we'll prosper without a whole lot of other advanced teachings. We can do some things that we've never been able to do in our lives. Job, you've heard it. Well, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. And blessed be the name of the Lord. And it sounds real religious. That is a lion spirit. And that spirit has come inside of people and has affected people's lives and made it so every time they want to talk about that, they go to Job. And let me tell you, the Holy Ghost wrote it. And it is truly stated, but it is not a statement of truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth is going to make you free. I remember when I was praying, my folks taught me how to pray. Now, this is what they said. Are you ready? They said, all right, every night you pray this. And I did it religiously. Now lay me down to sleep. Come on, see y'all with me. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Watch this. Watch this. I'm going into unbelief now. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. That is a doctrine of devils. If I should die before I wake. What? You wait till I cover how you got something to say about death.
Yes, sir.
We're going to kick over some sacred cows. And maybe what we'll do next time is just go through Job a little bit. Just examine Job's life. Say amen to this. Let you see what Job did in his life. Let me show you one more scripture. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, please. Oh, I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm not trying to make you mad. But no, you got something to say. If you and your household, you got something to say about whether the devil takes your kids out of here or not. The devil is a liar. Like I say, he tries to inoculate you with religion. So when I come with the truth, you say, oh, no, I don't believe that now. And I'll read it to you right out of the Bible. Here it is right here. Wow, well, I still don't believe it. I ain't pointing over here now. I'm just. How y'all? Look what it says here in verse 1. So I return and consider all the oppressions that are done under the sun. And behold, the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. And on the side of the oppressor was what?
Power.
But they had no what? Comforter. Notice what happened. He said, on the side of the oppressor, who's the oppressor? The devil. Was what?
Power.
In the Old Testament, the power was on the side of the devil. It was on his side. That's why God never taught much about the devil.
Amen.
If he started exposing that thing, they'd follow it.
See?
He couldn't do it. Look what it says next, verse 2. Wherefore I praise the dead, which are already dead, more than the living, which are yet alive. Yet better is he that both they, than both they, which has not yet been, who hath not seen the evil work that is done under the sun. Let me put it in my own words. It's better not to have lived under that Old Testament, because you didn't have no power. Say, hey, I look for a comforter. Didn't have none. Well, how many of you know the comforter has come? Jesus came first, and then he said, I'm going to the Father, and I'm going to send you another what? Comforter. That comforter is powerful. Maybe tomorrow, next time, I'll show you in Job how that comforter is called the daysman. He's the one that touches both heaven and earth. Powerful stuff. Oh, yes, it's truly stated. Why? Because it's inspired by God. But it's not a statement of truth. Why? Because he's trying to correct your thinking. Don't let the devil do to you what he did to Job. You get something out of it tonight? Give the Lord a praise.